Good evening, church. Are you guys good? Jesus, how good was the weather today? Oh my head, it was so good. The mountain was so clear this morning. Anyway, can we pray? Father, thank you so much that we get to be in your house tonight, that we get to do church together. And I thank you that you are here with us. We're going to believe for breakthrough as we speak about lessons from Mary tonight and how she can encourage us and inspire us just to have a kingdom perspective. And hey, while everyone's eyes are closed, can I ask that we just give a massive shout of praise on the count of three? I feel like we've got so much to be grateful for right now in this place. The fact that we are here, I'm grateful for. The fact that we've got families here, I'm grateful for. In this period of COVID, we've seen just healings. Oh, we had two separate healings of cancer in the life of our church, and then someone's boss got healed. We've got so much to be grateful for. The future of our country, we've got so much to be grateful for. I can't wait to see my kids being raised up in such a phenomenal country. We've got so much to be grateful for. But I think the most important thing that we have to be grateful for right now is that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for each and every one of you. So we have got so much to be grateful for. So on the count of three, can we lift up a shout of praise? Can we just lift up the atmosphere in this place? One, two, three. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. You're the King of Kings. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so excited. Give someone an air high five. Air high five, no touching. Otherwise, we have to kindly ask you to leave. Jokes. Maybe. Where's Chris? Yeah, Chris not here, that's fine. So good. Hey, we've had a phenomenal morning in the house. We had the privilege of hearing our lead pastors preach this morning together. I think that's so cool. Hey? Have we got to hear them speak together? So please, the message is going to be loaded onto YouTube in the week. Go and listen to it. It inspired me and encouraged me just to hear what they had to say and just the truth that was preached this morning. Who can't wait for next week Sunday? Hey, come on, our Christmas experience. I was here as well yesterday and I got to hear the team. I got to see some of our worship leaders dance in the kids' auditorium, and they were seriously like dropping moves. You know the Walk on Water song? I'm a spaz. You know, at View City, we made our own version and we like video recorded people walking on water, and my walk on water was just bad. Bad enough that they put it on twice. It wasn't because it was good, it was because they were, no, I can't show you. My jeans might rip. Oh, that's embarrassing. They ripped before, but it's not going to happen again. But come on, if you haven't booked for our Christmas experience, we have all three locations in the building, so the seats are going to run out quickly. You don't want to miss out. And then next week, we have Dieter Schroeder in the morning, and then we've got Kayla in the evening. Come on now. No, stop. That's the 20th. I was testing you. It's a Christmas experience next week. On the 20th, we have Dieter and Kayla at the 6 p.m. service. And then we enter into a new year. Oh, it's Christmas. Everyone knows that. But then we enter into a new year. And then it's probably my favorite time of the year, guys. But we go into 21 days of prayer and fasting. All right? Come on. Not only are we going to start the year spiritually strong, but I know that some of us are going to do it because it's going to be a rough Christmas. Amen? Don't say, no, whoa. You guys know. Christmas time is, you put on 5 kilograms time. So I know a lot of you fast because you want to lose that, right? No, because you guys are spiritually led people and you want to fast and start the year strong. But I need a poll talking about Christmas food. Who is in favor of mince pies? Who likes mince pies? Wow. There's 4 people, 5 maybe, 6. Okay, it's not England, but it still tastes nice. And who is not in favor of mince pies? Wow, I didn't know it was that unanimous. Why? I used to live with Graham and Jenny, and Dino used to come and visit us. And Uncle Graham always used to buy mince pies in Christmas time, and we used to really enjoy them. But when Dino was there, they disappeared with Dino. He would have 6 on the trot. It's the same as hot cross buns. We used to love a hot cross buns, 1 a day. But then when Dino was there, they were all gone. 6 of them, boom. So anyway, that's not what I'm meant to be speaking about. But that's what I said, but got slapped because of it. Dino also used to steal my swimming trunks because he used to swim. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked. Show of hands. quickly, another poll. Who gets frustrated when you've planned something, when you've planned an event, or maybe you've planned for the next 3 months and you're so stoked, all your ducks are in a row and you can't wait, you've got your diary sorted and you're confident moving forward, and all of a sudden, something happens and all those plans mean nothing. Yeah? I think Andre said COVID. Yeah, COVID could be an example, but come on, that's frustrating, right? When you planned, you sorted, you stoked, and something happens, and it means nothing. All that hard work, just down the drain. Bye. Like the mince pies, apparently, in a lot of your dustbins. So we can all relate that if you plan something, you want to see the plan happen. You want to see it go to the end. But when something happens, it's frustrating. Tonight, we get the privilege of learning lessons from Mary, who's the mother of Jesus. Now, she is a phenomenal woman. Amen. If you don't know who Mary is, she's a great woman. We're going to be speaking about her and just the encounter that she had. And we're going to learn about what it means to have a kingdom perspective. Mary had a kingdom perspective. She had plans, I have no doubt. For those of you who don't know, she was a young woman. She was engaged to her fiance, Joseph. And she was pumped. She, I've got no doubt, was planning a wedding. Leanne spoke about it this morning. She would have more insight than me because she's obviously married and she knows what a young woman who's planning a wedding does. So I'm just going to jump on that and add on to that. And you know, she was, and Andre last week said that when you have a vision for your wedding day, you lose weight. So I've got no doubt that Mary and Joseph were just getting trimmed so they could fit into their wedding dress and it was just going to be the best day ever. Then I was thinking, like, married couples probably start thinking about the home they're going to move into and the appliances that they're going to get. Who's seen the meme going around, someone who owns a Smeg kettle? Have you guys seen that video going around? How someone who owns a Smeg kettle invites people to their house for coffee? They stand on their balcony with their Smeg kettle and go, "Hey, do you want a cup of coffee? I got a Smeg." No, it's just, I thought it was very funny. I rebuke that. But they're planning, and then, you know, they've got some things they want to do. Honeymoon as well. I forget about the honeymoon. They're probably going to have the best honeymoon ever. They want to go down to wilderness. Oh, they can't because it's a tough crowd tonight, guys. Did anyone listen to Thursdays? It's tough out there in wilderness. Guys, it's a good day to be in the house of God. You've got to laugh with me. Are you full of joy today? Come on now. No, I'm not looking. I'm not looking for your laughs. It's okay. It's okay. We're going to read from Luke 1, verse 26 to 38. Verse 26 goes like this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sends an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David and reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary then said, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born and called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Mary then ended by saying this, "I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Now, you got to understand, that's a serious encounter to have with Gabriel. Mary wasn't married. Okay, now all of a sudden, she's going to become pregnant. That's a big deal in those times. If you were found out to be pregnant outside of wedlock, that was a big deal. There would have been shame upon you, maybe even death. That's a crazy thing to happen. Mary had every right to go, "There is no way you are going to do that to me. I'm not going to let it happen. And you know what? If she said that, I've got no doubt that God would have found someone else. You see, in that moment, Mary had a choice. Either she had a choice to go, I'm going to be obedient to what God has asked me to do, or she's going to make a choice and go, I'm not going to do that. You crazy. Leave me alone. I just want to finish my wedding dress and have the best wedding ever. No mince pies. Don't laugh at my mince pie jokes. It's real. We have a choice. You see, you and I have a choice too. Every day when we wake up, we have a choice to either be obedient to God or not be obedient to God. But the deal is that in today's age, God's not going to come to us and go, you're going to give birth to my son. That's already happened. That's not going to happen. But God has given us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And Andre says it all the time, that the Holy Spirit is in us for us, and he's on us for others. And the cool thing about that is that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us and birth some things in our heart that is directly for us and how it's going to impact us as individuals. But he's also going to speak some things into our heart and birth some things inside of us that's for the sake of others. And in that moment, we have a choice, the same choice that Mary had. Am I going to be obedient or am I going to be disobedient? You see, for us personally, for those of you who are in matric, God might be speaking to you about a career choice. The Holy Spirit saying, I want you to do this. Some of us might be in a career and God saying, I think your season there is over. I want you to go somewhere else. Maybe, and I love this because I love missions. Maybe someone in this house has been called to missions and that's been on your heart. And God's saying, are you going to take the call? See, that's for you as an individual. Then God is going to use the Holy Spirit to birth some things inside our heart to reach our friends. Come on, who's ever had that moment where you know that something in your heart has said, go and speak to that person? Yeah? And then we're going, oh, can't, huh? Can't. I just don't know what's going to happen. We've all had that encounter where God said, speak or phone or WhatsApp that family member. But we don't do it. I believe the Holy Spirit is birthing those moments inside of us for the sake of his kingdom, for the sake of their salvation, for the sake of them encountering God. I'm asking us tonight, are we going to be obedient to those callings? Are we going to be obedient? We don't have a child inside of us, but the Holy Spirit is living inside of us and he's prompting things in our heart every single day. There's two things I quickly want to highlight, and then we're going to go on to some practical lessons that Mary taught us and showed and exemplified in her life as she was obedient to what God had asked her to do. The first thing is that Mary trusted God in the midst of her unknown. Mary trusted God in the midst of her unknown. That's crazy. Mary asked the question, if you can backtrack to the scripture we read earlier, and said, how will this happen? That wasn't Mary going, there's no way, I'm a virgin, there's no way I'm going to become pregnant. It's impossible. She trusted God, the Almighty God, the Sovereign God, that that was going to happen. She was just simply asking, oh, how's it going to happen? Out of curiosity, how's it going to happen? She trusted God with the unknown. And she said, yes, this is something that I am going to do. It says in Joshua 1 verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And you know what the cool thing is? We don't have to just read stories, the story of Mary and how she was obedient to God in the unknown. I think about Dieter. You all know Dieter Schroeder? He's wearing the tightest shorts in the building tonight. I've seen Dieter's journey. I've seen the journey he's gone on. And Dieter was working a good job. He was. Why are you guys laughing? He was. He's got a big family. And God spoke to him and said, Dieter, I want you guys in full-time ministry. Dieter and Abby are now leading our Markbos location. There was an unknown, and there was a journey of Dieter resigning and coming on and just serving, and then he got the opportunity to come on staff, and now look where they are. Dieter and Abby said yes. There was a calling from the Holy Spirit. There was a massive unknown, but they knew who their God was, and they said yes. The second thing that we see Mary do is she served God and not the world. Again, Mary could have said, no, there's no way I'm doing that. Because the world would have said, you are wrong. You should be ashamed of yourself. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't speak to your family members. You shouldn't reach out to your friends. You shouldn't join the dream team. You shouldn't become part of a view group. You shouldn't become a kingdom builder. No, you shouldn't be doing that stuff. But Mary didn't care about what the world said. All she cared about was being obedient to what God had asked her to do. She decided to serve God and not the world. Because it could have been easy for her to serve the world. But she decided to serve God. It says in John 15, verse 19, the world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so the world hates you. The world doesn't like it when we're obedient to God. They get frustrated. They can't understand it. But it's the most rewarding thing when you and I say, no. God, I'm going to be obedient to what you've asked me to do. I'm going to be faithful in this season. We need a kingdom perspective. So I'm asking you tonight, where's your perspective right now? Where's your perspective for your future? Where's your perspective for this country? Where's your perspective for your family? Where's your perspective for your future career? Where's your perspective? Mary had a kingdom perspective. So there's five things quickly that we're going to discuss, if that's okay. And the first thing is this. Mary knew who God was and His word. Mary understood who God was and knew His word. Mary was a Jewish girl. And she would have been brought up in a Jewish household. So what that meant was that she would have been taught scripture. She would have heard scripture being taught by her family. She would have stood outside the synagogue and she would have heard just the Jewish people remembering what God had done for them. In fact, we've just done a series on Nehemiah. So I've got no doubt that she would have heard the story of Nehemiah and how God used him to rebuild the wall. She would have been taught about this faithful, sovereign, supreme God who's in control, who's for His people. She knew who God was and she knew God's word. Do we know who God is? Do we understand His nature? Do we understand His characteristics? Do we understand what He's done? Do we understand how He looked after His people in the Old Testament? Because the Old Testament is extremely relevant today. Do we know who God is? Do we know that God is sovereign? Do we know that He's supreme? Do we know that He's kind, that He's merciful, that He's faithful? Do we know that He is immutable, that He's omnipresent, that He's omnipotent, that He's omniscient? Mary knew these things. That's why it was easy for her to say yes. If you're struggling to say yes to God, I'm going to ask you, do you really know who God is? Do you understand how big He is? Do you understand how great He is? Do you understand that He sent His Son and Jesus defeated death and the grave was left empty? And like I said earlier, He's sitting at the right hand of the Father and He's interceding for us right now. Do we understand that? Because when we understand that, it's going to be easier for us to say, yes, God. It's going to be easy for us to have a kingdom perspective. It says in Hebrews 12, verse 2 to 3, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Our perspective changes when our perspective changes of God. Our perspective will change when our perspective of God changes. I want to encourage you, get into the Word. Study the nature of God. study who he is, study what he's done, study what he did for his people. You know what? Go over the book of Nehemiah again and see what he did. If he's faithful to do it for them, he's faithful to do it for you as well. Study. He's a supreme God. He's a sovereign God. He's a big God. I can't stress this enough. If you don't know who God truly is, you're going to struggle to have a kingdom perspective, and you're going to struggle to say yes. Number two, Mary praised God. Mary praised God. Amen. Luke 1, verse 46 to 55, it's titled Mary's Song. Some of the translations call it Mary's Magnificent Song. It's a song of praise as she cries out to God. But that piece of scripture is broken up into four pieces. Mary starts off by giving thanks to God. She thanks God for who he is and what he's done for her and how he's looked after her. The second thing that she does, and this is tied into point number one, is she declares who God is. She declares his goodness. She declares that he's a King of Kings, that he's the Lord of Lords, that he's the Alpha, that he's the Omega. She declares who God is. The third thing that she does is she remembers what God has done for Israel. She remembered how God had delivered them, how God had rebuilt the wall, how God had called people and used them. She remembered. Then she declares his mercy. She declares his grace. I believe that's a stencil for you and I. Every day when we wake up, let's give thanks to God. Give thanks to God for your life, for what he's doing in you and through you. Give thanks to God for your family. Give thanks to God for the future of our country. Give thanks to God for the leadership of our church, of our nation, the future leaders, the next generation. We've got so much to be thankful for. Then I want to encourage you, declare God's goodness. As you learn about who God is, declare it every single morning. Declare it. The more you declare it again, the more you're going to understand who he is, and you're going to have revelation of who he is. And when you're faced with a choice, it's going to be easy for you to say yes. And then again, remember what God has done for you. Come on. We are living in a testimony. Amen. Who knows that there is a testimony that they can celebrate? I know that there's many testimonies that God has done in me individually, in my family, in the families of in our church. In our church, I've seen it happen in Zambia. There's so many things that we can look back on and go, God, thank you so much. And never forget his love for you. Mary praised God. Our praises change our perspective. Our praises will change our perspective. Number three, Mary got into community. She understood that she couldn't do this by herself. It says in Luke 1, verse 39 to 45, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed in the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Mary understood that she needed to surround herself with people. In that moment, Elizabeth spoke life into her. Elizabeth spoke promise to her. Elizabeth spoke destiny into her. Elizabeth spoke purpose into her. You and I are not designed to do this by ourselves. When God's called us to something, he's not saying do it by yourself. He wants us to surround ourselves with community. That's why we say every week there's two ways to get involved. The first way is Growth Track, and the second way is View Group. View Group is not there just a full time in the midweek. View Group is there so that we can do life with each other, so we can encourage each other. It says in Proverbs 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so a person sharpens another. I want to encourage you, if you are not part of a View Group, sign up for one tonight. We've got incredible young adult view groups in the 6 p.m. We've got incredible view groups for every age group in our church. They are for you. They are for you to make sure that you aren't doing this by yourself. View groups and community help you have a kingdom perspective. I know my view groups have helped me have a kingdom perspective. When I'm struggling, someone will speak something into my life and it's going to help me push forward. Doing life with people help you have a kingdom perspective. Number four, Mary was flexible. Come on. Mary was flexible. Now I'm going to remind you, Mary was going to give birth to the King of Kings, to the Savior of our world. He was like the royalty of royalty. There's no one greater than him. Now, if I was in Mary's shoes, I would have expected that Jesus was going to be born in a 5-star hotel, in a good hospital, in a good clinic. Only having the best of the best of the best. The best doctors, the best everything. But it says in Luke 2 verse 16, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Mary didn't go, God, stop it. Stop it. I'm waiting for my 5-star hotel. This is not happening here in the manger. I'm not lying in this hay. It's not happening. Hurts my back. It's prickly. Mary never had that conversation because Mary was flexible. You see, sometimes things are not always going to go the way we want it to go. We need to be flexible when we are obedient to God. We need to be flexible so that he can do his work through us and in us. Could you imagine if Mary's like, no, God, this is not happening? Would have been a bit of a weird conversation, don't you think? But Mary was flexible. Can I ask that the keys come up? Mary was flexible. I want to encourage us, let's be flexible. It's part of our values and culture here at View Church. We are called to be flexible. Let's be flexible. Number 5, and for me, this encourages me the most. Mary knew whose she was. Mary knew who she belonged to. Again, in Luke 1 verse 38, Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Again, Mary would have had an understanding of God. Mary would have had an understanding of his word, and she would have known that she was God's daughter, that she was God's creation, and it was her honor to be his servant. Mary knew who she belonged to. Mary knew who her God was. Mary knew who she was going to be obedient to. I believe that Mary would have known this. It says in Psalm 139, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Mary knew who she belonged to. That is why she was able to have a kingdom perspective. Church, I'm asking us tonight, and this is something I have to remind myself as well. Who do you belong to? Do you know that scripture is as true for Mary as it is for you? That the thoughts God has for you as an individual outnumber the grains of sand on this earth. Have you ever tried to count sand? No, because you can't. You're going to lose count so quickly. Scripture says that his thoughts outnumber every grain of sand on this earth for you and for me. That scripture is as true for Mary as it is for you. It will become easier and easier for us when we have a prompting from God and from the Holy Spirit to say yes, when we understand that we belong to a sovereign God, to a big God, to an almighty God, to an all-powerful God. The purposes that he has for us is incredible. The purposes that he has for you is incredible. But all he's asking is for us to have a kingdom perspective and say yes, I'm going to be obedient to what you've asked me to do, God. And that's exactly what Mary did. She said yes. She didn't say no. She said yes. Can I ask if we close our eyes? I want to pray for two groups of people tonight. And the first group of people is for anyone who's forgotten who they belong to. Maybe you're struggling to be obedient to God. Maybe you're struggling to say yes to the things that the Holy Spirit is speaking into your heart. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit will fill you from head to toe. That He will heal the areas that need to be healed. That He will touch the areas that need to be touched. And that from this day onwards, you will wake up every morning declaring who your God is, remembering what He's done for you, and declaring that you belong to Him. Father, if that is anyone sitting in the room tonight, I pray that you will baptize them in the Holy Spirit, that you will fill them from head to toe, that you will anoint any areas that feel like there's no life, any areas that might be holding them back from saying yes to the things that you've put in their heart. Father, I bind those things and rebuke them in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that every single person here will wake up right now, spiritually in this moment, and start to say yes to the things that you put in their heart. I thank you that this is going to have a kingdom impact, that this is going to have an impact on the individuals who we're going to reach out to, on the work colleagues who we're going to reach out to, on the future of the individuals in our church, and how it's going to impact our nation too. Fill us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Baptize us afresh. Come to the center of our lives again, so that we can be obedient to you. In Jesus' name, amen. With everyone's eyes still closed, there's a second group of person I want to speak to tonight. Maybe you've never said the most important yes that you'll ever say. And that's accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've been living a life that's just been for you. You know that you can't do it anymore. You know that you can't go on without Jesus in your life. You know that from this day onwards, you want to declare who God is, who Jesus is in your life. As you want to start to praise Him every single day, thanking Him for what you've done, what He's done for you. From this day onwards, you want to say that I belong to God, that I am His child, and that I'm going to be His servant and do what He's asked me to do. If that's you, if you want to say the most important yes by declaring that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, on the count of three, I want to ask you to put your hand up. No one is looking. This moment is between you and it's between Jesus. This is a personal moment. It's an intimate moment. And we're going to pray together. One, Jesus gave it all. Two, so that we declare Him as our Lord and Savior, we will spend eternity with Him in heaven. Three, if that's you, do you want to put your hand up? Is there anyone tonight? We got a hand at the back. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anyone tonight who wants to declare that Jesus is their Lord and Savior? We got another hand over here in the middle. I don't want anyone else to miss this opportunity. This is the most important yes you are ever gonna say. Thank you, Jesus. Church, we're gonna pray this prayer together, loudly and proudly, because heaven has been populated tonight. Jesus, thank you for what you did for me on the cross. I know that I messed up, but I declare that you are my Lord and Savior, that you are the King of Kings. From this day onwards, you were at the center of my life. Father, I pray that you keep me, that you guide me, that you help me become the person you purpose me to be. And that it will be easy for me to say yes to what you put in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.